CTV.
I'm going to give you a short lesson on love today, especially on loving yourself, because you cannot love other people unless you love yourself. This is a little known secret. I've discovered it. I stand out in the crowd because I love myself, and it comes across as narcissism, which that's an accusation hurled against anyone who has a good self-esteem nowadays. It's actually projection. I'll get to that a little later. But yeah, there's a whole team of psychiatrists could be dealing with some of the stuff that has been thrown at me. But self-love is important because you can't love anyone else unless you love yourself first. I wrote a newsletter called Love Yourself. It is part of the Romans series, Romans part 121. The verse I'm referencing is Romans 13, 8 through 10. Listen to this. To no one owe anything except to be loving one another. For he who is loving another has fulfilled law. For this, quote, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not testify falsely, you shall not covet. And if there is any other precept, it is summed up in this saying. In this, you shall love your associate as yourself. Love is not working evil to an associate. The complement, then, of law is love. Love fulfills law. When you have love, you don't need law. But if you don't love yourself, then you don't have love, period. It's a difficult era to live in. We're in an era of political correctness, which really is an era of codependence, where you need other people to like you. You want other people to like you. You must have other people like you, or you have a poor opinion of yourself. Many people are thrust into this world with a poor opinion of themselves. This is because they endured a childhood where they did not receive love. And this is terrible. I feel bad for anybody who had a childhood like that. My childhood was idyllic, as I've told you many times. So this is commonly referred to as the love tank. And my love tank was full. And I didn't have a ridiculously high opinion of myself growing up, but I had a good opinion of myself. I mean, my childhood, I say idyllic, but I remember, it's not like my parents weren't critical. I'll never forget this one. I drew a picture. Now, I'm a terrible artist. If you've ever seen me at a conference attempting to draw anything, it's a laugh. But I had drawn something. I was probably 12 years old, and I thought it was pretty good. So I went up to my dad and I said, "Hey, Dad, how would you rate this drawing? Excellent, good, fair, or poor?" And my dad said, "Is there a category below poor?" Ooh, now that's brutal. And it's not fair that I bring up that one incident. I do that just to prove to you that I was raised in the good old days where you didn't get a medal for getting up out of bed every morning. You didn't get a participation trophy just for brushing your teeth. I mean, you know, things were expected of you. But I was shown affection, physical affection, hugs, kisses. They loved me, my mom and dad. And I love them too. And this is critical. And I find it lacking today, sorely lacking. And so there's this codependence where people need other people to like them because they don't like themselves. And so they will do anything to be liked, to be loved, anything to be loved. They will compromise themselves because there is no self. And so they will look to other people constantly to fulfill that love tank that was never filled. And thus they condemn themselves to a life of performance. Because that's the only way they think they can be worthy of any love is to perform. But then they eventually come to resent that they have to reform as if it's the person's fault who's receiving the performance. Now, if you're going to love is not a zero-sum game. True love is not a zero-sum game. In other words, you don't run out of it. Love is a bottomless well. It's like how many kids can you have before you stop loving them? I mean, The more kids you have, the more you love them. You just, love keeps coming. It's like a bottomless well. It keeps being fed underneath the groundwater. How? Why? The love of God. It's inexhaustible. Really, the more it's drawn out, the more of it comes out. So love is to be lavished, yes, on everyone. The more you give, the more you can give. And this goes back to loving yourself. You have to love yourself. But I have known many people who do not love themselves, and it's very sad. And the root of many evils, including the great evil of jealousy, is the lack of self-love. Jealousy is, I have found from experience, one of the worst sins in the scriptures. Jealousy killed Christ. It's terrible. And then I have known people who have no self-love. They look at somebody like me, and they think I'm a narcissist. Why? Simply because I have a high opinion of who God made me. God doesn't make junk. But that's so rare today to have this opinion, this healthy opinion of yourself, that those who don't have it see you and you seem like an extreme because of the backdrop of mediocrity. So backdrop of mediocrity makes you look like a narcissist. Self-loathers, people who don't love themselves, they can't grasp how anyone could love oneself apart from the sin of narcissism. If you love yourself, you must be a narcissist. We never heard of such a thing. What? Loving yourself? Right, they've never heard of it. And going back to, if you can't love yourself, you can't love others, you have nothing to pull from. You're constantly trying to suck love out of every person you can. And you think that what you're giving is love, but in fact, it's not love. It's a desperate outreach for acceptance. That's not true love. It's not love. It's a desperate outreach for acceptance. That's not love. Because love doesn't expect anything in return. Codependent love, that is love that needs love to come back. It expects everything in return. It doesn't give anything freely. It can't. Again, it doesn't have a full tank. And this all stems back from childhood. I know there are many people listening to me who have had bad childhoods. And I'm telling you, I feel for you. It's terrible. Can God overcome that? Of course God can overcome it. The question is, does God overcome it? I mean, yes, to a certain extent. But I'm convinced that in this life, we're going to wear scars. You're going to wear scars from what you went through in your childhood. You're always going to have a limp. Yes, you're going to be able to function in society. Yes, you're going to be able to love. But you're always going to have a limp, i.e., a scar from some emotional trauma from childhood. Or it doesn't have to be childhood, but that's where it starts. Could be a marriage. Could be a work situation, but usually it's abuses happen in relationships and in families. You always hurt the one you love. Why is that? I have no frickin' clue. But to people who can't love themselves, it's one extreme or another. Either you hate yourself or you must think you're Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, there's no in between. It's either self-loathing, which some people think is healthy. It's healthy not to think highly of myself. The only other alternative is, that guy's Nebuchadnezzar. He thinks he's the king of Babylon. No, it's not that way. Narcissism is an extreme personality disorder unrelated to the biblical teaching of self-love. Don't mean to mix up the two, and I don't think I am. Self-love is one thing. Narcissism is personality disorder. It's unrelated to self-love. In the classic case of projection, you know, projection is when you have a problem, but you don't want to confront it, so you project it onto other people. You assume that they are what you hate. I mean, they become what you hate about yourself that you can't admit to, right? So in a classic case of projection, self-haters, doubters, loathers call other people who don't have the problem narcissists. See? But actually, they're the narcissists. The ones who don't have self-love, they're the narcissists, because they're actually closer to exemplifying the personality disorder because the focus is incessantly inward. It's like, I'm so unworthy. It sounds like so humble. I'm so unworthy. I'm hopeless. I'm no good to anyone. Why was I even born? How could God choose me? These sound like, oh, what a humble person. No, it's completely narcissistic because the focus is on me. I'm so unworthy. I'm hopeless. I'm no good to anyone. Why was I even born? How could God choose me? And so forth. This, again, seems pious, but it's not far from it. It's sick. It's a disease of self-absorption. Absorption. You're just like a sponge, but you're absorbing yourself. It's an ugly thing. So, as I've said it, I'm saying it again tonight because it's an important topic. Only one who loves him or herself is able to love other people. It stands to reason that no one operating from a place of personal emptiness can give anything to anyone. Have you ever gotten rich? Have you ever gotten money from a poor person? And no. Well, you're never going to get love from a self-loather. You can't. They don't have it. My favorite airline, Spirit Airlines. Say, Martin, what the hell does that have to do with this topic? It has a lot to do with it. It demonstrates this principle to me every time I fly. Whenever I fly Spirit Airlines, and this is true of any airlines that you fly, the flight attendant announces that in case of pressure loss, right? You've seen the whole routine. In case of pressure loss, oxygen masks will drop from the ceiling. And the instruction is that I am to put on my own mask before assisting a child. Put on your own mask before assisting a child. Before assisting a child? What? That seems like such a selfish, narcissistic thing to do, to take care of oneself. Oh, it's all about me. I need oxygen. Ho, ho. No, before helping a child? Who do you think you are? Nebuchadnezzar with an oxygen mask? Aren't we supposed to put other people first? Yeah, right. Only after. Yes, you are supposed to put other people first, but after you take proper care of yourself. If I'm on an airplane, I'm going to be of no help to a child if I'm passed out from oxygen deprivation. Am I? I'm passed out. So, in a great feat of sacrifice, I try to help everybody else. Help everybody else. I'm the great helper. I'm the savior of all humanity in the health department. So I'm helping, helping, helping. In the meantime, I'm getting dizzy and weak. Why? Because I haven't put on my own oxygen mask. People whose self-image depends on helping, helping, helping others, that's unhealthy. It's not true love. It's really inward. It's a backwards demonstration of love of self. Yeah, you keep trying to help others before you put on your mask. You got to put on your mask first. You have to love yourself first. In the realm of love, how will I have the emotional capital to give to somebody else if I haven't first given it to myself? Romans 13:10. Love is not working evil to an associate. The complement then of law is love, but verse 9, I'll finish with that. That's says everything. If there's any other precept, it is summed up in this saying. This is it. Law summed up in one saying, you shall love your associate as yourself.